The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Near the end of Parashas Tetzaveh, Shmeis Chof Tes, Posuk Lamed Ches, the Torah states as follows. And this is what you shall make on the Mizbeach, on the altar. Two sheep, each in the first year, two every day. The first keves, the first sheep, you shall bring in the morning as a sacrifice. And the second sheep, you shall bring ben aboyim. That's between the time the sun starts to set, in other words, right after the midpoint, afternoon, till sunset. And then the Torah tells us what else has to be brought together with this sacrifice. There was a meal offering and there was wine. Olas tomid l'dei reshechem. Pesach ha'ol mei lifnei Hashem asher rivoi lachom shom aladaber elech hoshom. This shall be a korban ola, a burnt offering, which shall come always. The Rambam further explains this mitzvah in the beginning of Hilchis Tamidim Umusofim. The Rambam says, Mitzvah asay is a positive commandment, Lahakriv Shnei Kfosim Eileis Bechol Yom, to sacrifice, this was during the time of the sanctuary, two sheep which are burnt offerings every day, Vehema Nikroim Tamidim. And they were commonly referred to as the Tamidim. Tamidim, the word Tamid, Targum Unkelah says, Tedirin, which means it comes always. Echad Baboikev, Echad Bein Aboyim. One in the morning and one in the afternoon. Shnemar Shnaim Leim Eilisomid. Veim Osais Manshkitosan. And when were they sacrificed? Shulbeke Sheikh Dinesai, Kedim Shetale, Achamo. The morning one was sacrificed before sunrise when the east was totally light. This is the sign of dawn. Tomid shel ben aboyim, the one in the afternoon, the later part of the day, shechtin esei mishar yarich hatzel v'yirei lechol sheherich. That's when the shadows start to lengthen. As long as the sun is directly overhead, there is no shadow. But when the shadow starts to lengthen and it's recognized by everyone, so that's when Bein HaAboyim begins. And that's from 6.5 hours from sunrise. And 6 units, if you divide the day into 12 units between sunrise and sunset, so 6 units will be at noon. So from 6.5 units onward, this is the time of the Shechita of the Tamid Shel Bein HaAboyim. But they would usually wait a little later in the day, 8.5 hours. Why? Because no korban, no sacrifice came before the morning burnt offering, and no sacrifice came after the afternoon burnt offering, so therefore they would delay it a little. This was the principle. There were some exceptions to this, but this is the general principle. There is a medrash the Maral brings in the Siv Avas Reah. He brings a medrash from the Ein Yaakov, from the Hagdomas HaKesef, from the preface which is written by the writer of the Ein Yaakov, which is the collection of Agodas, the Agodas HaShas, of all of the ethical sayings in the Shas in the Gemaras. The reason why he brings it from there is because it seems to be obscure as to where the source of this medrash is. And the Kesef also writes that this is a medrash he found written over it by someone, but he himself does not know the source. The Medrash says as follows: Benzuma Benzema Aimer Matzinu Pasuk Kele Yaser Vuhush Ma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. The Tanoim, the rabbis of the Mishnah, were trying to identify a pasuk in the Torah, a sentence in the Torah, which encompasses everything, which encompasses, will be the klal gadol, will be the all-encompassing principle of the entire Torah, of the entire universe. So it's not an easy task. So Ben Zema, Imam Atzinu Pasuk Eliyaseh Vuhu Shema Yisrael. Ben Zema said the Pasuk is Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. What would be the reason for this? Is because this speaks of the Creator. This speaks of the Achdus, the oneness of the Creator, and we've gone into this many times. The fact that He's one means that He's the source of everything. Because everything must begin from a beginning. And a beginning must be a single beginning, otherwise it's not the beginning. So this designates and it signifies that He alone is the creator of all energy and life, and therefore this pasuk would encompass everything. Benana Seimer, Matzinu Pasuk Hel Yeser. Benana says no. There's another sentence in the Torah which encompasses even more. Ruvi after the Reacha Kamecha, that you shall love your fellow man like yourself. Now this is similar to what Rabbi Kiva said, Zer Klal Gadol B'Torah, that the great rule in the Torah, the great encompassing principle, is after the Reacha Kamecha, that you shall love your fellow man like yourself. This is something that the commentaries have all delved into as to why at least this precept encompasses all of the obligations that man has to his fellow man. Right? He has numerous obligations to his fellow man, but they all come from one source. Be after the Reach Kameicha, that you shall love your fellow man like yourself. Ben Pazi Aimer Matzinu Pasuk Hel Yeser. Ben Pazi says no. We find a sentence in the Torah which encompasses even more than everything. And what is that? And he quotes out of the sentence we just quoted. That one sheep shall be brought in the morning, and the other shall be brought later in the later part of the day. Omar Pliny al Raglov, one of the rabbis of the Mishnah, stood up. The Omar, and he said, Halocha ki Ben Pazai. He says, the Halocha, he rules in favor of Ben Pazai, that this is the all-encompassing precept of the Torah. And his proof is because Hashem said, Kechol asher ani mara eschoi estab nisamishkon v'chein tasu, that you shall build the sanctuary in accordance to what I have shown you on the mountain. Now, this seems to be somewhat puzzling. We can understand, we are Ashma Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod, speaking of the oneness of Hashem, that's a principle that encompasses everything. Or we can understand the after Reach Kameicha, that you shall love your fellow man like yourself, that's a principle that will encompass everything. And the rest is just explanation. But why the Tamidim, the sacrifices that one came in the morning and one came in the afternoon, why should that be such an all-encompassing principle? It was a sacrifice. We have many sacrifices. It was an important sacrifice. But still we have other mitzvahs in the Torah. It's one mitzvah. We have 613. The reason for this, the Maral explains in the Siv Avasreya Perek Aleph, is there was one basic factor different by this sacrifice and all of the other sacrifices, and that is the Torah says Tomid all of the time, and like the Rambam says, they were called the Tmidim. Only these sacrifices were, even though many things came all of the time, but these sacrifices were referred to as Tmidim, always. What does it mean, always? These sacrifices never had anything that would overrule them. They came every weekday morning and every weekday afternoon. They came on Shabbos in the morning and in the afternoon. They came on Rosh Chodesh, on the new moon, morning and afternoon. They came on the Regolim, on Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, morning and afternoon. They came on the Rosh Hashanah. They came on Yom Kippur. When a Yantiv came along, there were additional sacrifices which also came. And they were called the Musafim, the additional sacrifices, because they were in addition to these. But these never ceased. They always came. Every morning and every later part of the day. Tomid. And this is why they refer to as Tamidim. Actually, now that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, the sanctuary, so the Tfilos, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, gave us the structure of the Tfilos, the Shemein Esrei, in their place. And that's the Shemein Esrei, the Tfilos Shel Shachris, and the Tfilos Shel Mincha. And that's why we always daven Shachris and Mincha, every day. There is no day that we do not daven Shachris and Mincha. Some days we'll daven more, we'll daven Musaf, we'll daven Nilo. But there is no day, be it Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot or Tisha B'Av, whatever it might be, that there is not an obligation to daven Shachris and Mincha. And because this follows the Korban Tomid, the Tamidim. Now a person was placed in this world for one purpose, and one purpose alone. And that was to serve the Almighty. This is why He created him. The sages tell us that the high point of serving the Almighty was in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, the sanctuary, the Mishkan. This was the high point of the Avoda. Avoda means to serve. A servant is as much a servant as he is totally committed to his master. If a servant is partially committed to his master, then he's a chatzi abed. He's a half a servant. Actually, the Gemara brings cases where someone could be a half a servant and a half a free man. If he's 25% committed to his master, he's a 25% servant. But that's not a servant. The Gemara brings a servant is someone who is totally committed to the master. Total commitment means always, with no exception. A commitment that sometimes can be waived. Sometimes it can be overlooked. Sometimes it can be neglected. Sometimes it's a commitment, but when something else comes, we'll give that priority. That's not total commitment. Avdus, servitude, is total commitment. If it lacks in total commitment, then it lacks in avdus, in service. Just like you take a soldier. A soldier who has loyalty to his command or to his country that he serves. There is no compromise when it comes to loyalty. Either you are loyal or you are not loyal. 25 or 50% loyalty is not loyalty. Avoda, avdus, means loyalty, means commitment. Commitment and loyalty means total commitment and loyalty. If it's lacking, then it's not loyalty, it's not commitment. Man was placed in this world to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, and in particular Yisrael. They were placed in this world, Avodahem v'lei avodim la'avodim. They are my servants, the Almighty said when He gave them the Torah. And they are servants of no one else. Which means they are totally my servants, totally committed to me. What is the declaration of that servitude. The highest point of service was the Beis HaMikdash. And what was the highest point of service in the Beis HaMikdash? Keves Echot Baboker, the Keves Echot Bein Arboim. That one sheep came in the morning and one in the afternoon. Why? Tom meat, without exception. If the sun came up, then we brought the sacrifice. If the sun started to set, then we brought the sacrifice. It was dependent on the creation. As long as the creation existed and continued, then we continued to serve the Almighty. And never with any exception to this, never when anything would take priority over this. Therefore, Ben Pazi said, Posuk Zeh Kolel Yoseh, this encompasses everything else. This encompasses the entire Torah. Why? Because the rest are merely perushim, the rest are merely commentaries on how to serve the Almighty. All 613 mitzvahs are merely commentaries to teach us how to serve the Almighty. You can serve Him with the mitzvah of tefillin, you can serve Him with the mitzvah of tefillah, you can serve Him with the mitzvah of studying Torah, you can serve Him with the mitzvah of chesed, of doing kindness to others. We have 613 ways. But the direction of all of the mitzvahs is because He created people to serve Him. And the greatest joke of servitude He gave to Israel when He gave them the 613 mitzvahs. And the ultimate of this is a total loyalty to the Almighty, a total commitment, a total servitude. This is what it means, Avodahem v'lei avodim v'avodim. They are my servants and they are servants to no one else. And this is spelled out in Esakeves Echot Baboker, Esakeves Asheni Bein Aboim, Tomid, that they shall be brought always before you, all of the time. Now, from here, we learn a very important principle. And that is what the difference is when you do something on a basis of totality, with permanence, or if something is done haphazardly, leprokim, from time to time. The Torah and the Gemara has expressions for this. Something which is done totally and with permanence, this is called kfius, a keva. When something is done in an incidental manner, occasionally, this is called mikro or aroi. Mikro, aroi, this means it's done from time to time, occasionally. Keva bikfius means it is done always, in a permanent, definite way. And we find many places that the sages discuss this. For example, the Gemara Brachas brings, it's a Gemara on the Vava Mabeis. Amar Rav Chelbei, Amar Rav Huna, Kol HaKeveya Mokem LeTfilasei Elokei Avraham BeEzrei. Whoever davens when he prays to Hashem, and he's Keveya Mokem LeTfilasei, he always davens, he always prays in the same place. Not one day he goes here and one day he goes there. One day he goes to that shul and another day he goes to another shul. He visits every day every Shabbos a different place, like a tourist. He's a visitor. He likes variety is the spice of life, so he goes from one place to the other. And even when he comes to one shul, sometimes he likes to sit in the front, sometimes he likes to sit in the back, sometimes on one side, sometimes on the other. The Chazal say, the sages say, this is not the way a person should daven. But he should be keveya mokam letfilose. He should find wherever he wants to daven, to pray, and stay there. Always pray in the same place. Always daven in the same place. Whoever does this, Elokei Avraham be'ezrei, then the God of Avraham will come to help him and listen to his tefillah. And Avraham did this. Avraham used to speak to Hashem. He would go to one place all of the time to speak to Hashem. How do we know this? Because it states, Vayashkem Avraham baboike elash mokam asher omat shom espedei Hashem. Avraham got up in the morning and he went to the place where he spoke to Hashem. See, it refers to a place. He used to go to one place where he would speak to Hashem. Then the Gemara brings, Omer b'yechidem b'shim b'nichoy kol ha'kevei ha'mokam l'tfilosei eivov neiflim tachtov. Whoever prays is mispalel from one place all of the time, his enemies will fall in front of him. They will fall beneath him. Now what is the reason for this? So the Maral explains, with this principle, when a person comes to speak to Hashem, it can be in an incidental manner, it can be in an occasional manner, a mikra kora, or it can be bikfius. It could be in a well-established, permanent manner, unchangeable way. If a person does something in an incidental manner, this is categorized as Yad Shmol, his left hand. If he does something in a strong, permanent manner, this is his right hand. Because when a person wants to do something serious and with his strength and with determination, he does it with his right hand. When he does something in an incidental manner, he does it with his left. This means if a person is doing something important, he does it in a very calculated way, in a determined way, and a thought-out way. This is kfius. Things that are done in a haphazard way, or merely as a reaction, this is aroi. This is a mikra. One comes from strength, and the other comes from a weakness. And therefore, oivov neiflim tachtov, his enemies will fall beneath him. And this was the midah of Avraham. One of the most permanent creations that there is in the world is a tree. A tree is very difficult to move. And a tree outlasts everything else that grows in the forest. All the vegetation and all the plants, the tree will outlast it. The fact is, the tree is even a more permanent fixture in the forest than a man. The average tree will outlive a man. And Avraham was known as the roots of the world. He is the one who established the roots of the world and directed the world towards Hashem, towards the Almighty. So Avraham was the he was the classical example of this kfius. What gives the tree so much permanence? Because it has far-reaching roots that go deep into the ground. This gives it its permanence. And therefore, even the strongest winds have difficulty uprooting it. And Avraham was someone who planted deep roots in the world. And from there grew the tree of Avraham. So therefore, if a person approaches tefillah, and tefillah is like an ever the servant coming to request from the Almighty his needs, if he approaches it in a haphazard manner, then this has nothing to do with Avraham, this has nothing to do with strength. If he approaches it in a serious manner, and things that are serious we do in calculated ways, in careful ways, right? Not as a tourist or a visitor, then Elokei Avraham Ezra, he can rest assured that the God of Avraham will be at his side. And Oivav Naflim Lefonov, and enemies will fall before him. That's one example. Another example. There's a Mishnah Masechet Ovis, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tesvov. Shammai Omer. Shammai said, Asei Teiros Chokva. When you study Torah, you should not study it in a haphazard way. You should not study it in a manner of disarray, lack of order. But asei teiros chokiva, but it should be with a permanent nature. That means you set aside time for it, and that time every day is used for Torah. Not that if you have time that day, then you study Torah. If something else comes up, so then you push aside the Torah and you go and you take care of whatever else you need to be. No, the Torah should be the kfiyas. The Torah should be the foundation, the mainstay. And other things should be pushed away. You should use the same time every day for it. You should study in a permanent manner, which means in the same place. When you come to Torah, you should not one day learn from one thing and another day learn from something else which is totally unrelated. But it should be with a continuity. It should be with a finalization, with many revisions. This is what it means, asei teiros chokva. And again, we see the same principle. There's another Gemara where the Gemara tells us that tchilas dinei shel odom, that when a man comes to the next world, so the first question he'll be asked is kovato itim l'Torah. Now he won't be asked, did you study Torah? He will be asked, did you establish firm times for the studying of Torah? Kovata itim l'Torah. Did you establish in this world firm times which could not be changed and overruled for Torah? Because there are many people that study Torah, but it's in an incidental manner. It doesn't become part of their lives. Something which is constant and consistent and without interruption, this becomes a part of a person. Kovata itim l'Torah. Did you set aside times that become part of your life for the study of Torah? This is one of the first questions that's asked in the next world. There's another Gemara, Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, Naif Isha Chosalev. Shlema Melech said, Naif Isha Choser Lev, someone who goes and he leaves his own wife in order to commit sin with another person's wife is Choser Lev. He lacks heart. So what does this mean? It means that the loyalty and the relationship and the bond between he and his own wife is superficial. It is without heart. Therefore, he can go to another woman. This is what Shlomo HaMelech said. So here we see the same principle, but this is relating to a man and his wife. A true relationship is a relationship of total loyalty, total commitment, and total permanence. A Nayef Isha, that's someone who he has a wife, but he has other women also. So he divides his loyalty, he divides his commitment. So that Shlomo HaMelech said, that's not partial commitment, that's nothing, that's Chos HaLev. That's a commitment without heart. It's meaningless. But the Gemara goes one step further. The Gemara says that Shlomo HaMelech was not only referring to the relationship between a man and his wife, but he's referring also to the relationship between a man and Torah. The Gemara says, Zeh Halei Meteira Leprokim. Someone who gives himself over to the study of Torah with a seriousness and with a permanence, with a total commitment, that's the same as someone who gives his heart over to a total commitment to a wife. But someone who studies Torah without a seriousness. Unfortunately, we have people that come to study Torah, and to them it's a type of entertainment. They want to be entertained, so they come to study Torah. They come to study Torah at their convenience. If they have time, they come. If they don't have time, they don't come. They come, they're what is known as good weather people. Weather permitting, they'll be here. We'd find when it comes to other undertakings of theirs, they'll be there whether it's good weather or bad weather. So what does this show? This shows that the attachment to Torah is very superficial. If a person comes to study Torah, we're not speaking if he studies harbe or me'at. Shammai didn't say asei terosko. Shammai didn't say that you should be lemid harbe tera or me'at tera. He didn't speak of quantity, he spoke of quality. Asei terosko kva. The Torah you study must be with a total seriousness and permanence and commitment. He's not speaking about the man who studies 10 hours of Torah a day or 12 hours or a half an hour a day. He's speaking of the quality of the Torah. A person who is totally devoted to his relationship with Torah, then this is an attachment. This is a bond. But a person who's leme Torah leprokim, that means once in a while he learns. One day he'll learn and one day he won't. One week he'll learn and one week he won't. If it suits him, fine. If it doesn't suit him, also fine. This is Noaf Isha Chosalev. This is the same as someone who forsakes his wife for another woman. You have people who they have a wife, but they share their devotion to other women also. It's not that they're devoted to many things. They are not devoted at all. And therefore, the bond is no bond at all. This is the same with Torah. Someone who studies Torah without seriousness, without devotion, it's not that he's devoted to many things. He's devoted to nothing, or at least not to Torah. Another instance we see this is in the Teichachos, in the parasha where HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebukes Klal Yisrael in the parashas of the Torah. So there many times he says, because halachtim shalachtim imi bekeri, you have walked with me, bekeri, keri means bemikro, in an occasional manner. When it suited you, you came to shul. When it suited you, you did a mitzvah. When you needed it, you did it. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want. And why? In accordance to the explanation is very good. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, wants a servant. He wants a servant, a loyal servant. Loyalty doesn't mean that when it suits you, good, but otherwise forget about it. That's not a servant at all. Loyalty means total commitment in totality. And therefore, the rebuke was not that you didn't do mitzvahs, but bekeri, the mikro. You did it from time to time, from occasion to occasion, when it suited you. And this is not avoda. This is not serving Hashem. This is serving yourself. We find this in another place. We find this by the Nevi'im, by the prophets. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Moshe Rabbeinu, it states, Vayikra Hashem el Moshe. And Hashem called to Moshe, and Vayikra is written with an Aleph, and that designates a premeditated, calculated calling. When Hashem came to speak to Bilam, the prophet, the evil prophet of the nations, there it states, Vayokor. Not a predetermined, calculated calling, but an incidental, occasional appearance. When he revealed himself to Moshe and to the other prophets, he revealed himself with a totality, with a permanence, with a kfius. When he revealed himself to the evil prophets of the nations, he revealed himself in an incidental, occasional, temporary nature. Why? The same way that they acted to Hashem, he acts to them. Moshe that gave Mosar Nafso. Moshe gave his life for the Almighty. He gave his life for Torah. He gave his life for Klal Yisrael. This is why he was called Moshe Abdi, Moshe my servant. Ne'amon b'chol beisi. He is loyal to me more than anyone else in my household. This is servitude. He was willing to give his life for Torah. He didn't come to study Torah when the weather permitted. He was giving his life for Klal Yisrael and never faltered. He wasn't someone that said, look, I've worked for Klal Yisrael now for 20 years enough, or 25 years or 40 years enough. It's time to retire. Not until the day of his death did he stop giving his life for Klal Yisrael. If this is the way he shows his loyalty to Hashem, so Hashem showed his loyalty the same way, by Yikra. But by the other prophets of the nations of the world, they came to Hashem only when they needed it. But there was no commitment there, there was no loyalty, there was no long-term stamina and dedication. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu would also reveal himself by Yokor in a very temporary, incidental manner. And this is why in the Mishkan it states Ohel Moed. Ohel Moed means the place of constant meeting place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Moshe in the Ohel Moed, v'no'adti shom. It was called that because constantly Hashem would come to speak to Moshe. Now, what is the reason for this? So we see from here, from all of this, that something which is done in a totality, something which is done in a permanence without change, that is good. Well, when something is done with constant change and of a temporary nature, this is not good. What is the reason for this? This is relative in all of life, but especially when it comes to mili de shamayu, and especially when it comes to the spiritual endeavors of man. Why? What is the source of the world? The source of the world is Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally unchanging. There is no change in him. The whole concept of a temporal being doesn't exist by Hashem. He always existed and he always will exist. Nothing preceded him and there's nothing after him. He never changes. He is the essence of something which is constant, consistent and unchanging. Therefore, anything that comes from Hashem or has to do with him must be of that nature. If it's not, then it's alien to him. This is why his Torah supersends time. Time is based on change. Change doesn't reach the Almighty. He's beyond it. And anything that comes from him is beyond it. Therefore, his Torah is unchanging. We find that the world goes through change all of the time. But the mitzvahs of the Torah, the principles of the Torah, remain the same. The physical world is different, though. Physical matter is constantly changing. The world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created was physical. Physical matter is always changing. The fact is, the physical world was placed under the rule of the sun. This is the Mor HaGodol, the light, the physical light which rules the sun. The sun keeps the physical world not only constantly changing, but in a constant stage of movement. There is never an instant when the world stops moving. The sun keeps the entire solar system constantly moving. This is the essence of time. We are calculating the movement of the solar system. Because of this, the world is constantly in a flux, constantly changing, from day to night, from morning to noon, from winter to summer, from summer to winter, always changing. But we must remember that the source of the physical world is the spiritual world. In physical world, we must be prepared to be very versatile. We have to be prepared to be very versatile. We have to dress one way in the summer and one way in the winter. One day we dress for rain and the other day we dress for hot weather. Because we live constantly in an Olam HaShinui, in a changing world, and all physical matter constantly reacts to pressures which are stronger than they are. So it's a world of reaction. It's a world of change, and we must be very, very versatile to constantly cope with it. But we must remember, though, that this is all physical matter. The spiritual matter, which is the soul of the physical world, that is unchanging. Because that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only he doesn't change, but the whole concept of change is totally foreign. Is totally alien. Because something changes only if there's a pressure to make a change. And what kind of force or pressure can there be on the Almighty that he should change? Something is temporary only if there was something, if there is a beginning or an end to it. And by the Almighty, where there's no beginning or end, the whole concept of time does not exist. It's below him. It's a creation which he created. But it's not something that he's subjected to. And therefore, any spiritual endeavor must be with the right hand, not with the left hand. It must be with a kfius, with a permanence, and not of a temporary nature. Now, even in the physical world, which is a world of change. And as we mentioned, man has to constantly be prepared for that change, and he must be versatile. Nevertheless, man must strive for a permanence in the physical world also. Because we see that basically nature does seek a permanence. We gave a shiur not long ago on physical health, and we brought many examples how the body constantly strives for a perfect balance. The body constantly strives for a stability. The body actually rebels against change. Body doesn't like a situation where all of a sudden it's cold and all of a sudden it's hot and so forth. The Gemara brings one of the examples we brought where it states Shinui Vest Trilas Cheli, that if a person changes his routine of eating, that many times can bring sickness upon himself. So routine is something that even on this physical world that a person strives for, a person needs. We find also that every nation gravitates towards its own land. Chinese people live in China, and most Indian people live in India. Gravity in the physical world, which tries to maintain order. The Maral writes in Sefer Netzach Yisrael that this that we find Yisrael has been in Golus, in exile, for 2,000 years. He says this is only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Gezer as a Golus. It's only because HaKadosh the Almighty has decreed the exile. Because if he had not decreed the exile, then it is the nature of man for everyone to live in his place, to seek his place, not to be scattered all over the world or moving from one place to the other. Today we live in a world which is full of upheavals. To find qualities of dedication, total commitment, consistency, loyalty, stability, these are rare qualities today. Very rare qualities in our society. We more often hear of such phrases as instability. Upheavals. These are the phrases we hear more often in our society. Insecurities. Constant change. Now this is a machla, this is a curse of the generations that we live in. The fact is there's a recent book that was written by Richard Nixon, former President of the United States, that just came out. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he brings many statistics, and he writes there that the 20th century, which would come into an end, these 100 years saw more wars in the world than perhaps for thousands and thousands of years before. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he says there was 130, is that correct? 130 wars in the last 100 years. Now there's almost nothing which can be a greater upheaval of society and a greater disorder in an orderly universe than a war. War is a total upheaval. And 130 wars in the last century, he says he estimates that might have been more wars than we've had in who knows how many centuries or how many thousands of years. 130 wars. He lists the amount of people that went into what was it? Do you remember how many were killed? 120 million lives were lost in these 120 wars in the last 100 years. 120 wars is something. 130. But this denotes the century that we're living in. It's a century of upheavals, of insecurities, of instabilities, of change. The fact is, people are so accustomed to take the newspaper or turn on the television to find out what change took place today. If nothing changed, there's no news. There's no news, so newspapers would go out of business. But this is what we're accustomed to. Old timers used to tell you, but you didn't know if this was reality or just maybe they just thought this way, but old timers used to say that it didn't seem that things changed so quickly in their days. It seems that eras would carry on for much longer times before there would be radical universal changes. But it seems that it was true. Whether it's in the area of war or government or upheavals or economies or whatever it might be. But this all has to do with the nature of the time that we're living in. Now, unfortunately, it affects people's lives. And especially young people. Now, today you have, I remember reading many years ago, an article in the United States which was called America on the Move. Every year, it seemed that one half of America in the East picked up and moved to the West, and the half of America in the West picked up and moved to the East. And the next year, vice versa. It was called America on the Move. But it used to be people would live in a house. They would live in their hometown. They lived in their hometown and they died in their hometown. They could live in a house for who knows how long. I met a Jew who came from Poland who told me that the same house that his family lived in, his family lived for 500 years. So I asked him, could the house last for 500 years? No, he says, no, but they rebuilt it on the same spot. If it got old, they rebuilt it on the same spot. The same town, the same place, 500 years. Many times those people lived in a city for hundreds and hundreds of years in the same place. Now today, unfortunately, people constantly are not only moving from one place to the other, but from one country to the other. Canada, Australia, South Africa, America, back and forth, UK and so forth. From one country, from one job to the other. Marriages, that it used to be assumed that a marriage would last forever. No. Careers. People constantly change careers. Now, this is not the way it's supposed to be. Young people shouldn't think that this is the way it's supposed to be. Anything good in life has to be with a consistency. The higher the endeavor, the greater the consistency. The greater the dedication. Otherwise, it's considered doing something with the left hand and not with the right hand. In a world of change, it's very difficult. So it makes the challenge greater. All right, we have to be versatile. We have to make proper applications. But the principles must remain the same. The same principles that we were handed down from our fathers and grandfathers, they remain the same, they are unchangeable. We have to apply them accordingly to a change in society and to changing scenes. But they must be unchanging. And a person must know that when he approaches something of higher natures, then if it's with a total commitment, a total dedication, consistency, a total order, then he's on the right track. If it's not, then he's on the wrong track. Unfortunately, we find that young people today, and this seems to be a great plague, in yeshivas, it is common today to meet young people who have been in yeshivas 40 years, and then four different yeshivas. 5 years in six different yeshivas. This is not an exaggeration. And perhaps the greatest tragedy is that they don't feel they're doing anything's wrong. They'll tell you this is the way it's supposed to be. Old days, a person went to yeshiva, and he stayed in that yeshiva until he graduated from it, until it was time to go on to a higher level yeshiva. If an upheaval came along, yes, you found many times people had to change yeshivas because there was an upheaval, there was a war, between Russia or Poland or Lithuania, and they had to flee from one boundary to the other. There was a famous yeshiva of Rabbi Zalman Meltzer in Slutsk. In Slutsk later on became the Kletsky yeshiva, because they had to run across the border, because Slutsk fell under enemy hands, and they had to run across the border further into Lithuania to Kletsk. So Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, who was known as the Slutsky yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva, later on became the Kletsky Rosh Yeshiva. And later on his son-in-law, Rabbi Aaron Kotler, became the Kletsky Rosh Yeshiva when Rabbi Zalman was called to Eretz Yisrael. But all right, then you found changes of yeshivas, but it took an army to move someone from the yeshiva. As a rule. But this is all part of the instabilities, which is very dangerous. A person must know that if he wants to serve Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him in totality. And Eved LaHashem Avodai Heim, my servants, that someone who is dedicated in totality. A half a servant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in. And therefore, when the Tanoim were looking for a key sentence in the Torah that would encompass everything, one said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What can be greater than speaking of the oneness of the Almighty? And another one came along and he said, no. Another one came along and he said, V'after Re'acha Kamocha, that you shall love your fellow man like you love yourself. That embraces all of society, all of mankind. And when Paze said, Yesh le posuk shekelul yeser. There's a posuk that encompasses even more. And that's esakeves echor taser vabeke esakeves asheni taser bein habayim. And shnaim leyem tomid. One sheep shall be brought in the morning and one in the latter part of the day. Two sheep every day, tomid, all of the time, without exception. Man was put on this world to serve the Almighty. How do you serve the Almighty? All of the time, without any exception. That is total loyalty to the Almighty. All of the other mitzvahs are merely instructions on how to serve Hashem. But the essence of the servant to Hashem is that one sheep was offered in the morning, one in the afternoon. Tomid, every day without exception, whether it was during the week or Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, Tishu B'Av, there was no exception. This is how a man must approach his duty on this world. He's not allowed to get tired. He's not allowed to give up. He's not allowed to become despondent. He's not allowed to be fatigued. He's not allowed to say, I've had enough. He's not allowed to say, look, I've put in good years of work. Now I want to retire to Muesenberg or to Florida or even Eretz Yisrael. Even Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, many people don't realize this, but Eretz Yisrael was not given for retirement. Many people, they're retiring to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was not given for retirement. Eretz Yisrael was given for more serving than Hashem than Chutz La'aretz. It's an outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash, which is the ultimate of serving Hashem, was only in Eretz Yisrael. If somebody wants to retire, he better go to Muizenberg. He goes to Eretz Yisrael, there he has to roll up his sleeves and really serve Hashem. The Gemara tells us, it says, when does a person become free? When does he become free from this? Here he says, he was given an oil. The Torah was a yoke. When does he become free from it? It says, when he dies and leaves this world, then he's free from the yoke of Torah. This is a total dedication. This is what we learn from this pasuk. And there's a great deal that we can take from this into our everyday lives.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.